And this is The Science Show on RN, where we also broadcast Occam's Razor on Sunday mornings. And engineer Frank Zanto has appeared many times talking about transport, trucks, trains and new tech. Here he's concerned about controls.
When Lion Air Flight 610 from Jakarta crashed in October 2018, it appeared that an automated safety system may have caused the crash. A second disaster involving a Boeing 737 MAX 8 in March 2019 under similar circumstances in Ethiopia largely confirmed this. Airspeed sensors gave incorrect information to the control system, which concluded the plane was in danger of stalling. It therefore forced the plane into a shallow dive to gain speed. In both cases, the pilots did not know how to disable the system. They desperately fought the controls all the way to the ground, but the safety system prevailed, taking the lives of 346 people altogether. In an Occam's Razor talk on autonomous vehicles in 2016, I suggested there are some significant safety concerns which will slow down their widespread adoption. Sadly, there have been some fatalities since then. But like the 737 MAX 8, autonomous cars are manifestations of a much wider trend. Autonomous systems are appearing in nearly every area of life, raising questions about who is ultimately in control. Some of the scary scenarios anticipated in the science fiction stories of mid-last century are now becoming reality. At a rail engineering conference I attended last year, in a discussion about driverless trains, one speaker joked that a locomotive should have a driver, a dog, and an automatic control system. The driver would be retained as a backup in case the automated system failed, and the dog would be trained to bite the driver if he touched the controls. The underlying belief is that the human is the unreliable element. Hence the claim that as most car crashes are due to human error, thousands of lives can be saved by eliminating the driver. From the system safety perspective, the human being always represents a latent risk. And this is how I'm trained to think. People may do the right thing 99.9% of the time, but the only way to de-risk the system is to eliminate the human. For example, in the 1970s, Queensland Rail were leaders in rail safety and spent many millions of dollars installing automatic train protection to prevent trains from passing signals of danger, that is, red lights. But there was a switch to bypass the system in case it broke down. In July 1994, a freight train driver got impatient after a long wait at a signal near Beerburrum. He decided the signal had failed, and with no watchdog to bite him, used that bypass switch. He then pulled out onto the main line in front of another train, causing a massive wreck. There is always a conflict between trying to prevent impatient humans from endangering themselves and others by overriding a safety system and ensuring that there is a way to override the system in an unforeseen emergency. For example, on modern trains, the doors lock when they close, so people can't force them open and jump out if the train stops between stations. But what if there is a genuine emergency, a derailment or a fire? Even then, it may be more dangerous to get out and wander along the tracks with the risk of electrocution or being hit by other trains. Should the individual be given the choice? Back to the case of the 737 MAX 8. The safety system which forces the plane to dive can be disabled, but the pilot has to remember how, under highly stressful conditions. Should overriding a safety system be just the flick of a switch? When there are trained professionals involved, there is generally a procedure to override the system, but it usually involves several steps to ensure they really mean it. But can we trust the general public to know better than the machine? In days gone by, railway carriages had a cord above the windows which you could pull in an emergency to apply the brakes. That gave the individual the power to make a decision and to act. We no longer allow that. A modern train has an intercom so that the passengers can report a problem to the guard, or more likely to a distant control centre, where someone may respond accordingly, but there is no direct link to the train's brake system or doors. Computers have played a large part in the control of planes and ships and trains for decades. We accept that the safety of machines is enforced by machines. The aviation industry has received a wake-up call, and I'm confident that a third 737 MAX 8 will not crash, at least not in the same way. Safety will be improved. Air crashes are rare, but the fact remains, sometimes the machines will get it wrong. However, automated systems are appearing in other areas of life. Most of us know the frustration of trying to contact a real person when we have a problem with technology. Our phone calls are answered by automated voices which tell us to push buttons and to choose from menus. When I discovered that my new smart electric meter couldn't count, it took 5 months of calling to get it replaced. Try to imagine the situation in 10 years' time. We can only expect fewer humans and more automation, which is one of the themes in my novel, Reality Check. The increasing use of artificial intelligence means more autonomy for the system and less for the human. In conventional automated systems, the program uses logical tests which the programmer thought of. If there have been a lot of complaints from a particular phone number, put the caller on hold for 10 minutes. Or if the airspeed is less than 150 knots, then put the nose down. Artificial intelligence works differently. Instead of responding to predefined questions, the system is designed to look for patterns and correlations in the data, ones the programmer may never have thought of. This might be a problem. Following the recent murderous attacks in Christchurch, our Prime Minister commented that if the social media giants can pitch advertisements to us based on our internet use, they can develop algorithms to identify potential terrorists. This is probably true. But while I want terrorists to be under surveillance, I'm uncomfortable about being monitored by machines. In 2017, I helped investigate an explosion in some electrical equipment on a train. Nobody was hurt, but the consequences could have been fatal. The cause was not obvious, and to prevent it from happening again, we had to find out what gas had fueled the explosion and where it came from. Our internet searches frequently contained the words explosive, and we looked up how various volatile chemicals could be generated. At the time, we joked that this might put us on a watch list. The trouble is, it could well be the case. If we demand action from the government on terrorism, we may well get what we ask for. More egregious indiscretions may get you pulled aside for an interview at the airport or see your social media account blocked, but we may not even know there's a black mark against us somewhere. Based on a model of our personality combined with the things we have read, sites we have visited, or people we've known in the past, an AI system may decide that to prevent radicalisation, an early intervention such as filtering our internet traffic or subtly restricting our access may be necessary. How can the decisions of an AI system possibly be audited when there are millions of transactions a day? If the AI system believes that the human is an unknown risk and is best eliminated, will it have our best interests at heart? By allowing autonomous machines to control our security, we may be on a rapid descent towards a new kind of authoritarian society. Does anybody know which button disables the system?
Frank Szanto is an engineer working with trains and he's based in Sydney, and his novel is called Reality Check, the science show on RN.